Lightning Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire, Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Leader Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
The PA Horse Breeders Association introduces the Pennsylvania Stallion Series. Four brand new races to be run at parks for PA-sired, PA-bred two-year-olds. There are two $100,000 contests on August 22nd, PA Day at the Races. September 24th, PA Derby Day, has two more races, each with a $200,000 purse. The PA Stallion Series, yet another reason why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race. For more, please visit PABred.com.
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Enough!
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, hour three, about 20 minutes in, and I had to run downstairs just now, which gets back to what I was talking about when Tom Law visited. I didn't explain why I brought up the whole story with the pipes and the spigots and the hoses, because I heard somebody come in the house, and I thought the guy was coming yesterday, and you know. So I heard that while I'm on the air. You know, you're sitting on, you know, I'm sitting here yapping, and I can hear the noise in the background. So I wanted to go downstairs and you know, see what's up. So yeah, the guy is he's trying to do what I guess he couldn't get done yesterday. So maybe I will not have to deal with it, which will be fine with me. Todd Mostoller is going to join us, and Todd tomorrow. The best news you've received is the weather should be okay, and you'll be able to run those turf races where they're supposed to be run. Good morning.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. It's going to be better than okay. It looks like 76 degrees, beautiful sunshine, and it's nice when you plan days like this and Mother Nature cooperates. So,
exactly.
Yeah, we appreciate it, and we're looking forward to a great night.
No, the card, and I, you know, some years I've put the work in and you know, put together a pick four, and then, you know, the weather interferes, and the next thing you know, you're off the turf or whatever. So for these two, particularly for the two big open company stakes, and, you know, the grade two Penn Mile, which pretty much raced to a grade a grade two status. These both came up really good, and then on either side are the four state bred stakes, too long on the turf and too short for the 3-year old boys and girls. And you got to be happy with the nice mix you got of. Not just the local horsemen for the Penn breds, but you also got some invaders. People that are buying Pennsylvania breds, Todd, and are coming to the opportunities at all of the Pennsylvania tracks.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the quality of horses that we have entered in the mile and the Oaks, the Penn Oaks. I mean, when you look at the quality of the horsemen, we got top jocks coming down. Irad's coming down. To ride, Flavian Pratt's coming down, Paco Lopez. So when you combine the horse flesh with the quality of jockeys that we have and the weather, we're looking for a big day. It was exciting to see a horse like Annapolis show up. He's coming, making his first start of the year, but he could be absolutely any kind. When you run an 89 buyer number as an October 2-year-old, obviously in that pedigree, he could, this horse could obviously contend for championship for the year. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out, but we're excited to have him here. McGahee's shipping in with Fort Washington. And then the other horses that make up the race obviously don't want to sell Brian Lynch short with Red Danger. I mean, that horse is 1/3 of 10 for almost $500,000. And lesser horses, but the horses that are going to be a little bit longer priced in the board, there's some pretty decent horses in there. I was actually looking, horse by the name Uncaptured Spirit kind of caught my eye. If that horse could get loose, I think his race when he ran in the Murphy on Preakness Day was a real solid race, and I don't see a whole lot of speed in here. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
Well, there's a common theme throughout, frankly, for both of the stakes cards, the one in Ohio as well during the afternoon, with some horses trying surface switches, and the horse that's got speed. That's interesting, too, is Witty. What about McLean Hendricks with the horse that really launched his career that he took from Liz? And that one is a stretch out. Witty, by Great Notion, out of a congrats mare. And if there's going to be some pace pressure for Uncaptured Spirit, Witty could be the one. And I thought this was an interesting move by Hendricks.
Yeah, listen, you can't fault any horse that's drew off and his last two races going 7/8. It's an interesting move. And when you say Tuka, isn't McLean, isn't that Elizabeth Merriman's son?
It is.
Okay. When you said took for him, I was like, well, that might not be.
Well, I say took. I mean, he took over.
She turned
him over.
Because I knew he actually worked for Mike Trombetta up at Saratoga last year a little bit, and then he went out on his own. So, listen, any horse that's won 3 in a row, Great Notion's turned into a pretty good Maryland sire, and this horse has every right to improve if he takes to the grass. And I believe ZZ Zoom Zoom, I think she was predominantly a turf horse during her career, so there's a lot of jump bump potential. But I think when you look at the quality of Annapolis in that one, I think he's definitely the horse to beat. So,
I do want to mention we flogged the fact earlier that Arad was coming to town, and Kendrick Carmouche and Flavian Pratt and Paco Lopez. Well, Carol Cedeno is coming to ride Witty. And it's funny, her numbers when she comes to Penn National are kind of scary. She's 6/15 so far this year when she's come to town.
Yeah, I'm going to guess she was predominantly riding for maybe some of the bigger trainers that ship in from either Delaware or Fred Hill there. I kind of saw that also, and it kind of surprised me that she's been here that many times. But I'm sure she's riding for a big outfit there that obviously plays out well for her to be riding for those kind of horsemen.
Well, she does a great job, perennial leading rider at Delaware. Well, the storyline of Annapolis making the 3-year-old debut in the $400,000 Penn Mile, the grade two, in the Penn Oaks. How about Chad Brown picking this spot for Haughty's seasonal debut?
Yeah, I'm really excited to see her in the paddock. I thought she was one of the best, obviously, after she ran third in the Breeders' Cup. She proved that she was one of the best of the two-year-olds, but I think she has the potential to be a really special horse. I was really impressed with her Keeneland effort and her Belmont effort, and actually I lost a few dollars when she got beat three-quarters of length in the juvenile. I really thought she was that she has the potential to, again, to be a champion. She's the real deal, and I'm looking forward to see her in the paddock. As you know, I like to look at horses, and I can't wait to see hers, as well as the a couple other in here. I think the European import, it'll be interesting to see if Eclipse Thoroughbred, obviously pretty sharp outfit. They came here with a purpose and went and got this horse, so it'll be interesting to see how that horse runs. And then customer list, anytime Brown sends two, you can't dismiss, you know, the one that looks obvious, because he's more than his fair share. It's the horse that's the less obvious that gets the job done. So, yeah, the Penn Oaks, while it's a short field, boy, it sure did come up pretty strong with some nice horses. And, again, excited to see those horses in the paddock tonight, or tomorrow night.
I'm curious, is Butchie Reed committed to running Morning Matcha, or was this maybe a tentative, potential off-the-turf maneuver with Morning Matcha?
Well, obviously, it's always a potential. I don't know the answer to that. I have not spoke to Butch. I saw him at the two-year-old training sale at Simonium last week, but when she showed up in here, I kind of had the same thought, but I don't know what his intent is, and I hope he shows up. Being by Central Banker, you would think the horse could potentially grass. Doesn't look like. I'm not really aware of the sire of the dam. I am the Iceman. That's got to be some obscure state bred sire somewhere. I don't know
exactly.
Where that is, but
yeah.
We're excited. Excited about those. And then we have the PA bred races that they go pretty deep. We have decent field sizes, and as you know, we've had Pennsylvania breds in the past jump up in these races and then actually go on to the bigger stage. So hopefully some of these horses are able to do that.
Let's touch on those as well, Todd. Todd Mostoller joining us to look at the sequence tomorrow night at Penn National. The all-stakes pick four is the two open company races, the Oaks and the Mile, and then the Danzig and the New Start. So actually, let's go to the Danzig and the New Start so we can basically complete the pick four, and then we'll circle back to the two turf races.
All right.
10-horse field in this, and, I struggled with, to be honest, I struggled with this group, the boys' race, the Danzig. I thought this was a very well-matched field. I mean, Nimitz Class, when I saw 8-1, I was surprised. Uncle Buddy off the open company win last time, coming up from Laurel, and... You've got Center Mid Maddie for Eddie Coletti. Paco Lopez lands on Coletti's other runner, the Downtown Charlie Brown. Those Uptown Charlie Browns are amazing. And I got to say, it's too irresistible for me to miss low-hanging fruit like this. If I were to let Jean Valjean win, I would be miserable.
You would be miserable. Yeah, now listen, it is a bunch that, you look at the BPs, there's a lot of horses that look very similar. One angle that I like to use in races like this, straight three-year-old races, this time of year there are some horses that have crossed over. And in my opinion, if you can run against open, older horses, I think that shows a lot of quality that sometimes people miss that three and up arrow in the BPs. And it's... Those older horses have a distinct advantage up to this time of year, and I've been able to catch some prices in the past on those kind of horses. So you would look at Services Horse, Alivair, Bourbon Music, beat olders in here at Penn National, and then came back to win against straight three-year-olds. My style of handicap, and I would give those horses the edge, actually. Ed Coletti's horse, the one horse also, Center Mid Maddie. Those are you try to find some things that can separate these horses, and looking at them, they all look very, very similar. That would be one angle that I would use to separate these horses myself.
I like it. I felt the same way, that it was a group that was very evenly matched. I just heard back from Butchie Reed. He says they will probably not run. Todd, he says if he hears of other defections, he might change his mind, but he feels like it's a little bit too fast back for her.
Yeah, okay. I'll tell you another horse in there that one of the angles that, as the executive director that also represents Presque Isle Downs in the past, I really had an affinity for horses that run well on the dirt, and then they go up and they run on a tapeta surface and then come back to the dirt. Obviously, Rich Strike is one of those. I missed that one at 89-1, but I find those horses a lot of times have a extra level of fitness coming off, and they always seem to come out of the race better than they go in. And sometimes those horses can be dangerous and can pay big prices.
Yes.
Concrete Glory for Gerald Brooks would be a horse that would meet that. And he just lost to Like a Salt Shaker, who's a pretty decent, like a Salt Shaker's put together a pretty decent career.
Yeah.
He's a nice horse himself. And for this horse to get beat three lengths by that horse as a 3-year-old against an older, that's a pretty solid race up there. I don't like the
eight days
back or whatever it is, 9 days back, but off the synthetic, sometimes those horses will fire with that kind of short layoff. It's wide
open. And Brooks, I agree. And Brooks, very sharp. How about the girls' race?
Well, this is the New Start Stakes, and actually last year we ran this in October. I guess from a COVID standpoint, we got pushed back. But, again, it's a race where there's they look very similar, and I don't think you can really chuck anybody from a standpoint of the win point. It's a very contentious card, which is we're so happy we were able to put together. But this race, you know, these PA bred races are deep and contentious with no real standouts, which makes for good betting races. So it'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out.
You look cold, the 9-5 favorite, Kinsman stable, Robert O'Connor, and but I don't see where, you know, she's, you know, she doesn't certainly tower over the group by any means. Heading up to the opening stakes, the Lafarge goes as the third, the With Anticipation the fourth, and there was a horse at a decent price that caught my eye in that With Anticipation, Todd. Wait For It, Coletti, and I thought that there was value to be had from him.
Well, he had one start back on the dirt, and it looks like this horse does like the turf or the synthetic. Ran successful in a PA stake up there, then came back and ran second and lost to What You Must Chill, who's the one horse in here. It's going to be interesting to see how some of these horses take to the grass. They've run on it before, but I think they're going to have to step up their game a little bit for those that have it. You know, look at You Must Chill. That was back in October. Actually won the Alphabet Soup down there at Parks on their grass and actually could handle a soft turf. I don't expect a soft turf at all. We're supposed to, like we discussed earlier, we're supposed to have really, really good weather. So,
nice.
Yeah, this is a very contentious race also. I think you look at the horse coming down from Belmont for Tony Dutrow. Obviously, you get beat a nose in a six, optional 62 up there. That's a nice race and got beat a nose. So it's I can make a case for Wait For It, and looking down the PPs, I mean, there's really, if you really want to, you can make a case for most of these horses in here.
You Must Chill 2-1. And By Land and Sea 9-5. From that point, I just thought that, you know, they're going to take that money, and 5-1 on Wait For It.
I was just looking to see if there's any first time 4-year-olds in here, which is another angle that I liked in the past as far as catching bets, but they're not. They're all five years and older, so they've raced at age 5 or age 4 from a maturity standpoint. So I don't see any real jump ups in here. It looks like it's probably going to come down to trip and who runs their race.
The other stake, the Liffard, and I did catch that John Service was showing up with our friend Will Schwartz. Love in the Air comes in to compete. This is a nice group too, and you got the old veteran mayor. How about Bernie Haughton bringing back Trolley Ride for her 7-year-old debut?
Yeah, it's Bernie does a great job. He trains for his family farm. This one's actually a client, and any horse that's 9 for 32 won 373,000 lifetime, I respect immensely. And Wildcat Cartridge is another in there. You know, she's an 8-year-old by Mesner. Used to be a sire that stood in Pennsylvania here, and she's made 344,000. And when those kind of horses are 8-to-1 and 10-to-1 in the morning line, again, it's a very contentious race, and if they can find their old form and run back to some of their best races, these are great betting races. I want to reiterate, we were very excited to see how competitive they were, and more excited that they're going to actually run on the surface they were intended to be run on.
It should be a fun. Should be a great evening, and we'll get some more opinions tomorrow from everybody. Todd, I appreciate it, and we'll be watching and looking forward to it. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity, Steve, to talk to your listeners, and we're excited. And if you're in the area, hopefully everybody comes out to the races. It's going to be a beautiful night.
Like I said, for the local horse playing and fan community to be able to see Flavian Pratt and Irad, and when jocks like that come to town, that's a nice opportunity. So
I don't think Flavian's lost a race since he lost a race on a horse for Derby Day for me. He seems like he just wins everything. So hopefully he stays hot, and it'll be a great night.
Best of luck. Safe night for everybody. Todd Mostoller, folks, and the action tomorrow night at Penn National. And it kicks off 5 o'clock, and the stakes action starts at 6. We've got Joe Applebaum is going to join us, New York Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association. And Joe is going to walk you through the process. Some of you listening, I'm sure, sat in at the HISA webinar yesterday, and everybody's got to sign up for by July 1st, and horsemen have to, and their staffs, and they have to register all the horses as well. So we'll get some background here from Joe while we got a chance, and I know that the webinar from yesterday is going to be put up and be available for everybody to to watch. So even if you weren't aware of it, or if you're not, in the Northeast, that doesn't matter. I mean, anybody that's licensed is going to have to deal with this new process. In addition, there's the continuing education process that everybody is going to be required to do a couple of years worth of continuing education. And I think we've got Joe Applebaum now. Joe, good morning.
Steve, great to hear from you. How you doing?
I'm good. I wanted to reach out to someone that could help everybody negotiate this process, and considering yesterday's webinar that was, you had fabulous attendance for, I thought maybe you could help people understand the process and how to deal with it.
Absolutely. So the first thing is, we did have close to 600 people on a webinar hosted by all the THA groups, TOBA, the KTA, and I think that's important for everyone to know, is the horsemen's groups are here to help our horsemen, owners and trainers, as well as their staff, work through this situation and prepare for it. So we've been advocating on everyone's behalf. for the last number of years, and now we're here to help you prepare. Because I think it's understand. HISA is happening on July 1, right? You can love it. You can hate it. You could not even care about it, but it's happening. So we need to be prepared. And we understand there's changes. We understand that there's going to be a new way of doing things. That can often provoke anxiety. Let's be honest, Steve, horsemen, not usually that into change and doing new things, right? We all have our roots.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, the first part of this seems, you know, fairly innocuous and not all that involved in terms of the registration by basically yep. Now we got 4 weeks, July 1st.
You have 4 weeks, but don't wait. So we've taken a number of people through it. Let me tell you, it takes for an owner about 3 minutes to get registered. The key item that you need is you need your badge number, not from the track, like in New York, but from your racing commission. Doesn't matter. It could be the New York Racing Commission. It could be Maryland, Florida, whomever. You need your badge number. In New York, at least, I don't know other states, you can go on gaming's website, you click on horse racing, you click on databases, you put your name in, and they give it to you right there. It's no big deal. Literally takes about 3 minutes. For trainers, takes a little longer because the trainers have to enter their horses. But the good news, as I found in talking to probably 6 or 7 trainers already, is almost every horse that's in active training right now, they populate for you directly, right? So if you had a horse that ran in April, it's already going to be on your list. So, yes, if you have 2-year-olds coming into the barn, are you going to need to add them as they're getting ready before they make a work? Yes. But for the most part, in talking to our guys, it went very well. Now, having said that, last week there were a couple glitches, but HISA worked really hard on them over the weekend. Steve Keach, who's their chief information officer, really did a great job. And as of Tuesday, things are going much smoother. So the first thing is get registered. Register yourself. Make sure your horses are registered. And that's important. I want to point out something that is, I think, scaring people and holding them back. It's rule, and it's being brought up. It's rule 8400, okay? I will say that it was written inelegantly earlier in the winter when HISA submitted it to the FTC. Your good friend Alan Foreman, myself, the TOC, the KTA, TOBA, all wrote an extensive commentary on it. And the good news is that HISA listened. They radically revised the rule, and they're resubmitting the rule to the FTC. And this has to do with what information they're entitled to in doing an investigation, right? So we all know that a trainer needs to keep veterinary records and training records, and in states like New York and Kentucky, your racing commission can come and ask for those records, and you have to provide them. So HISA essentially is looking for the same thing. Granted, they didn't write the rule great back in the winter, but I got to say they were responsive. They listened to our complaints, and they've redrafted the rule, tightened it up, and focused it. And I know that's been a concern, especially on that cesspool that is Facebook with people. But you're going to have to register if you want to participate. And, you know, I think they've worked through a lot of the technical glitches and, in this case, a legal glitch. So I think... you know, people should get registered. It's the simplest thing they can do.
And other than that, right now, Joe, there's nothing. There's no other obligation for owners. One of the things that we keep seeing the word covered persons. I suggested earlier this morning. Anyone that is licensed, essentially, anyone that has any business whatsoever getting on a backstretch, anyone who is allowed, essentially, on the backstretch, has to register.
That's correct. That's the simplest way. Do you have a license from a state gaming commission that allows you access to the backstretch. If you do, you need to register. Okay? That is, let's make it simple. That's the way. Now, yes, are there workers that are going to need to be registered? Yes. All the THA groups I know, Delaware, New York, Maryland, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Illinois, Florida now, I hope I don't leave anyone out. I think I got everyone there. We're all doing events for the backstretch workers, showing up in the dorm areas, showing up in the rec halls, and we're going to do events, provide computers, get people registered. Okay, we're all helping trainers do it every day. In New York, you can call Julie Carmichael in our office, and she's dedicated to helping people get registered if you have any questions at all. But the first thing I would do is go to the HISA website. It's pretty simple. I don't think it, they've worked out some of the glitches they had. It's really pretty simple now, Steve.
What do you expect that this then, where does it go from here, Joe? Is there any other anticipated obligation? Maybe address the continuing education concept that is part of this and rankled some people immediately.
Right. So in New York, we already have a continuing ed expectation for trainers. So it's, you know, I'm less rankled by it than others. But yes, everyone is going to need to complete 2 hours of continuing ed. I think it's per year. That's owners, trainers, backstretch staff, everybody. We in the Mid-Atlantic have developed something called Horseman's U that allows you to do that easily. I suggest you go check that out. Just watching yesterday's webinar would be 1 hour of CE. And so, yeah, is something going to be asked of you? Sure. Do people not like doing things like this? I agree. Is the Queen of England going to watch her two hours of CE before running in a New York stake race on the turf? Probably not. But hey, it's the right thing to do. We should all do it. It's not that hard. I will, better than me, better than you. I know that's hard to believe, but there are a couple of articles published recently that I think lay things out really well. Frank Angst and the Blood Horse and Dan Ross and TDN published interviews with Lisa Lazarus, the CEO of HISA recently. I suggest everyone go and read those articles. It lays things out far better than I can. And it's better to hear from HISA in its own words, in a way.
Well, and I'm going to put up a link as well. There's a like an infographic, in fact, that I'm going to use that is a snapshot, just very easily answering the questions. All racing participants must register with HISA before July 1. Trainers must also register all their horses. It says who and then how. And, for those that haven't gone to their website yet, HISAUS, HISAUS.org. The registration thing is right there. Click on the register. I walked through it. I can't find my New York license. I got my NYRA badge, and usually they're together in my wallet, but I don't know where it is. So
Steve, I couldn't find mine either. I found one that expired like 3 years ago.
There you go.
Just go on the New York New York Gaming Commission website. Click on horse racing, click on databases, and there's a function, search licensees, and it'll come up really quickly. And you just type in that number. It works really easily. I think there's also, you mentioned the infographic. HISA produced a 7-page PDF with lots of, nice drawings and stuff on it that really tell trainers what the changes are and what the things they need to be aware of. We texted it to all the trainers in New York yesterday, I believe. If not yesterday, then Tuesday. We're going to continue to distribute it, but we thought that was a really helpful document, and really letting people know what's expected of them. And look, that's what the horsemen's groups are here for. And we're constantly talking to each other. We're here to minimize the disruption, right? We're here to advocate for our people, advocate for the rules we like, or advocate against the rules we don't like. But right now, for the next 3 weeks, we really want to minimize the disruption. We don't want there to be a horse that can't be, whose entries can't be taken come July 1, or in New York, actually, June 26th, because that's when we take entries for July 1. We want everyone to not have any gaps in their participation. That's why we're urging everyone to get registered.
That's a good aspect that some people, they're going to hear July 1 and they're going to wait till June 30th. But you bring up a salient point about entry for the July 1st card. That is a point well made, Joe. So June 26th for New Yorkers.
Yes, I believe that's our estimate. I don't know if the book's out yet, but that's our estimate.
It is.
Of
hold
when
on.
We're going to take entries. Okay, the book's out.
I will tell you right now, 2 seconds, if you bear with me. And I, thanks to your suggestion, I went and I did get my license number, so thank you for that. So look at how productive you are, Joe.
We're having a good morning, Steve.
Here we go. So Belmont, July 2nd, and we're looking at officially July 1st card is going to be drawn Sunday, June 26th, correct?
Right, so that, you know, that's the date. If you have a horse, you may say, oh, I don't have a horse that's going to run till August or whatever. Hey, what's it take the 5 minutes? Just get yourself registered so it's not a problem.
Like, what do you... And our man Jack Murray from the Five Hellions. Jack just said, thank you. He just registered, just like that. So we're pushing the peanut, as we say at Procter & Gamble. We're pushing the peanut. Joe... I'm going to try to register while we're talking too, because I didn't have the license number before. What are they going to do with this information exactly? Do we expect?
My guess is they're just holding it, right? They want to know who's responsible for each horse. If they do need to investigate things, you know, they want this is what you're doing. It's not so much the information; it's that you're attesting to abide by the Heiser rules and process. Right, that's what's really going on here. But, and I understand people may not enjoy that. They may not want that. But it's the law now. Like, it's the law of the land. These states are going to comply with the law. And if you want to participate, this is the price of participation. You know, gaming, this tracks all have our information anyway. You know, someone just actually texted me. They said, look, I can find anyone's name and a name, address, and phone number in 2 minutes of Google searching, right? Like, you know, they're really not asking for anything more than contact information.
That's true. And I'm doing this. They found me. There we go. All right. They found the right licensing, and we are confirming. Yes, I confirm that I'm Stephen Bick. States where, wow, I tell you, Joe, this actually, I'll give them credit. They've got a grid that just came up where, with all the places where I've been licensed.
Yes, I believe they're tapped into the ARCI database. So when your name comes up, I was actually proud. I've been licensed in 11 states. So all 11 states came up, when I registered the other day. I'm no longer in any of those states. They're from years ago, so I unclicked them and proceeded on. But it's actually pretty impressive when you see that, and for the trainers, when you see all your horses populate immediately, you know. And it's not perfect if you have someone who just shipped in, but it's pretty good, and it's a pretty darn good start.
I'm very impressed. I've got 8 states, Joe. I'm not a macher like you.
One day, Steve, one day.
Joe, if there had been time, I was going to ask you as we round out toward OBS next week and things wrap up on the two-year-old front, how'd you make out at Timonium?
No, I'm. You know, we're OBS only, so we did OBS March, OBS April, and then we shut it down. For the year. We learned from our old friend Hobie Kite. You just do a couple of sales and get out of town.
I love it.
But we did okay, not bad. Sold some nice horses. Had some others we kept. You know, what's real interesting to me, Steve, is I see these online flash sales.
Yeah.
Gives us another outlet for horses that weren't quite ready to make it by April, and we can train up and maybe get one or two good starts into them, and then not have to wait 6 months for another sale, but do some online flash sales. Or knock on wood, we hope to check some of that out. I think, you know, that seems like it's going to be the future here of selling horses and trading horses quickly through online endeavors. So it'll be interesting to see how those play out.
Very much so, and it's been a very quiet success. Joe, this was successful. I appreciate it. I'm almost done registering, but you got me over the hump by helping me with the commission. So I appreciate it, and we will see you at beautiful Belmont Park next week.
Can't wait, and I just remind everyone, if you have problems, questions, concerns, even anxiety or complaints, reach out to your Horsemen's Association. Reach out to the THA groups. We're here to help.
There it is, THA, Thoroughbred Horsemen Association, and your HBPA as well. And I appreciate this, Joe. Joe Applebaum, Todd Mostoller, Tom Law, Tony Black, Samantha Smith from TOBA, and Dr. Bob Gorham on Win 2000. Good luck today, everybody. If you're playing, back with you tomorrow. Weekend preview, a lot of good racing. Talk to you then.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standard bred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself. yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet to detect gene doping in thoroughbreds. And we endorsed the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.